Father, bless these words to our hearts. In Jesus' name. In Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the end. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the end." One of the things that believers have is an inability to overcome in their lives. And the things that they can't overcome sometimes are their past. And they're plagued not only with the memories, but even if they come to terms with the memories, sometimes they are plagued by the effects of their past. Sometimes the past can produce very deep roots. They're called lines, very deep old lines of thinking, of acting, things that have affected their soul, maybe that have made them into damaged goods. And now they are struggling, though they have long since repented of whatever it was, they are struggling with the effects of these things. Or maybe they can't overcome the challenges that come into their lives. Maybe no matter what happens, they feel like a total and utter failure. Maybe no matter what happens, they just feel like they can't get anything right. Like no matter what they do before God and before man, everything basically is a flop. And they tend to blame themselves for things that are not their responsibility or their fault. But it's certain, you know what it is, it's a type of a pattern of thinking. It's a type of an identity, where you take on the thought that you are actually somehow responsible for things that are not your responsibility. But they take this thing on. And often that too is because of old lines, because of old things that have happened in the past and that have formed the way that people think. And they can't get victory. And they get into these circumstances where things come against them. God has allowed these things to come against them. And they just can't deal with them and they feel like quitting. Or sometimes people can't deal with their own thoughts. Like their thoughts aren't godly. And they don't know how to change that. And they keep getting these projections and maybe it's even the atmosphere they can't deal with. Because a lot of the thoughts that we think are our thoughts are not in fact our thoughts. They are whispers from the atmosphere, projections from demons. And when I talk about demons, I'm not saying you see demons under your bed and that you get all hyper-spiritual about it. But I also do believe that we're going to be shocked how much was actually caused by the atmosphere. How many of our thoughts were not actually our thoughts? How many of our reactions were initiated from the atmosphere where the enemy said, "That's not very nice, is it?" In a very quick split-second communication, and we choose anger. And sometimes you can even see it in people as they're making their decision how to respond, and they respond in negativity because they have chosen that, but they haven't chosen that of their own accord. It's been something that was projected as a whisper, disguised as a thought, and it came from the atmosphere. And the enemy is saying, "How dare they?" And we get into these situations and we can't overcome them. And we don't experience victory in our lives. And when we get frustrated, we start either reacting and we become nasty towards other people or nasty towards ourselves, or we internalize it and condemn ourselves. And we live in that condemnation. We know we ought not to live in that condemnation, but we can't experience any form of victory. And we do our best. We receive the word as best we can, but we still have trouble mixing faith with what we've heard. And we don't quite understand why we can't get that victory, because it seems like we're making all the right decisions to be victorious. Well, the solution isn't all that difficult, but it's one that I think we don't really think about. And when we think about the solution, we think it's somehow disingenuous, that it's somehow insincere to go into this direction. But the Word of God says that this is how it works. You see, they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto the end. My past is non-existent. I'll say it again. My past is non-existent. What does that mean? My past, if I am in Christ, if I'm seated above, and I am by virtue of being a born-again believer, I have Christ's past. Because my life is not my own. I've been crucified and I live, but not my life, I live His life. For me to live is Christ. If I'm in Christ, and for me to live is Christ, then my past is Christ's past. I don't have a beginning, and I don't have an end. I have eternal life because I have resurrection life, and I can experience that resurrection life when I appropriate the blood of the Lamb in my own life. When I start believing that all my sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, it will change my identity. When I start internalizing that reality, it'll change my identity, and I will start experiencing the identity of born again. But believers don't experience that because they don't internalize the truth of the Word of God. They acknowledge it as truth, but they don't really mix faith with what they hear, saying, this is the truth, this is what it is, and this is what I am, and I will accept what is true. I will not accept what I experience. I will not accept what I think in my natural thinking. I will not accept what's been projected toward me from myself or from others or from the atmosphere. I will only accept that which is the Word of God towards me, about me, and that is going to become my identity, because that's what I'm going to internalize, because that is the only source of truth there is. When I can do that, when I internalize the truth of the Word of God, that's when I experience all things are become new. Why do believers have problems with their pasts? Why do they have guilt? Why do they have condemnation? Why do they have these feelings of inferiority because of failure? Because they don't really internalize that for them, the blood of Christ was enough. For them, the grace of God was abundant. For them, the Word of God has an effect. Oh, not for me. You see, you don't understand. I'm like this. Well, you must be bigger than God. I like what God said to Job. Did you stretch out the heavens? Are you a counselor to God? See, a lot of believers in their hearts think they are. Oh, you don't understand, God. My sin was so bad that I can't receive grace. You see, yes, for everybody else on the planet, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Your grace is sufficient, but not for me, God. You see, that's how bad I am. Wow. That's pretty amazing. You must be like the worst person that ever lived. I mean, you are so bad that God, the Almighty Creator of the universe, can't deal with you. You're pretty big. It's a form of pride. Now, I can almost hear the thoughts now. Oh, I'm proud. Why don't you knock it off? Just get a little humble before God. And when He says, my grace is sufficient towards you, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Your failures have been completely removed. They are remembered no more. They have been cast as far as the east is from the west. Why don't you get a little humble and start believing what is true, rather than believing your own fantasies and imaginations about who you are through your own flesh? And of course, the atmosphere doesn't mind throwing things in either a little bit. Oh, can't receive grace, God. I'm just so bad. What I did was so horrible. Well, my Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, including your little old flesh. So why don't you just get over it, receive grace, and go on. Why? Because you don't need to wallow in it. But they won't do that. You see, they won't overcome because they won't do that. But if they did that, they could overcome instantly, because the Word of God is quick and the Word of God is powerful. It's more powerful than my little old flesh. You see, God is bigger than I am, and God's grace is bigger than my failure. That is truth. So what fantasy do you want to live in? Because that is the truth. What little condemnation do you want to live in? What little fairy tale of guilt do you want to live in? Do you believe in fairy princesses also? If you believe that the Word of God is not sufficient, if you believe that the grace of God can't cover your sin, if you don't believe that you can instantly recover, instantly be restored, instantly be forgiven, what do you believe? Because you don't believe the gospel. So what do you believe? Oh, I don't believe the gospel. I'm such a rotten Christian. I don't even believe that. Oh, knock it off. Just believe. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, the blood that has washed away every sin the moment it was sinned? No. Before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The blood was shed before the foundation of the world. My sins have been taken care of before the foundation of the world. You see, it doesn't really matter what the sin was. It was taken care of before the foundation of the world. The provision was there before I began. The provision was there before the world began. The forgiveness was there before the foundation of the world. The mercy was there before the foundation of the world. The grace was there before the foundation of the world. Why don't I just trust in the reality of what is? You see, my flesh would like me to be condemned because my flesh wants to be the center of attention, and condemnation is sure a good way to do it. Oh, I'm living in the flesh. I'm such... Oh, knock it off. Why don't we stop indulging our flesh and simply receive grace? You know what produces a bad self-image is indulgence of the flesh. You know what produces a good self-image? Indulgence of the Word of God. I am who God says I am. Period. Oh, I failed so badly. Oh, so what? Oh, I'm so rotten. Oh, no kidding. Of course you are. Of course you're rotten. Of course there's no good thing in you. Of course your head is sick. Of course your heart is faint. Of course you're going to fail. You see, in John, 1 John, it doesn't say, it says, by this they shall know that you are of God, right? That when you fail, your heart does not condemn you. Not that you will not fail. How do I know I'm spirit-filled? I don't get condemned. How do I know that I'm of God? I don't get condemned. Okay, did it say you will know that you are of God because you do not fail? No. It's that you're going to fail. Hello, this is the reality of the matter. You are going to fail. And you're not just going to fail. You are going to fail big time. You are going to mess it up so bad. And you know what? God allowed all of it. That's right. God allowed your failure. God allowed you to mess it up. God allowed you to fall flat on your face. God allowed you to react. God allowed you to say all those things. God allowed you to do all those things. You know why? Because she that sinned much loved much. See, something strange about that failure, and I'm not saying that God wants failure or that He uses failure directly, but He will turn the curse into a blessing, won't He? She that sinned much loved much. People who don't fail, I kind of wonder sometimes, how do they identify with those who do? See, I fail all the time. And quite frankly, I wouldn't want to talk to somebody who's never failed because, I don't know, I just don't think they could identify with what I go through sometimes. Because I go through failure. I go through being human. I go through not being perfect. I go through being weak. But I like the second part of this also. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's something about the word of my testimony that allows me to be an overcomer. Now, the word overcame there in the original language is nikeo, and it means to conquer, to carry off the victory, come off victorious. When one is arraigned or goes to law to win the case, how do I become an overcomer? By the word of my testimony. How do I overcome my failure? By the word of my testimony. How do I overcome the attacks? By the word of my testimony. How do I overcome the condemnation? By the word of my testimony. See, in Romans 10, and starting in verse 8, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And that saved there is not just the salvation of sins. That saved there means to be delivered. It's from the word sozo. And it means to save, to keep safe, or sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, to deliver and to protect. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, unto deliverance, unto protection, unto victory. With the mouth confession is made unto deliverance and victory and overcoming. How is that? Because as a man speaketh in his heart, so is he. Thinketh in his heart, so is he. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What is my confession? Is it just a verbal confession? No, it is a confession in my heart. What is the confession in my heart? This is too much for me. I can't do it anymore. Or, oh, I'm so rotten and miserable and decrepit and wretched, and there's no good thing in me whatsoever. How will I ever get out of this body of death? God says, my grace is sufficient for you. What is my confession? God's grace is sufficient for me. How do I live? I live by truth confessions. How do I overcome? I overcome by truth confessions. How do I get victory? I get victory by truth confessions. Truth confessions in the heart being produced by the Holy Spirit's implementation to the human, or initiation to the human spirit implementing it in the heart, and the heart becoming victorious because I have truth confessions in my heart producing structures of faith, and that's where I find rest. It's truth confessions. They overcame Him by the word of their testimony. In Isaiah 8:20, to the law, and the word there is Torah, and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You see, I have an option. In my heart, I can fellowship with darkness, or in my heart, I can fellowship with life. I'd rather fellowship with light. How do I get life in my heart? Truth confessions. God, I'm in this overwhelming situation. People are coming against me. I can't deal with it. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Truth confession. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm getting so attacked and the atmosphere is coming against me. People are coming against me. Situations are coming against me. Who can separate you from the love of God? Can principalities, can powers, can distress, can sickness, can all anything? What can anything separate you from the love of God? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. That's a truth confession. God, I failed. I don't know what to do. I'm such a miserable failure. My grace is sufficient for you. Where grace abounds, sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Truth confession. But God, I feel so dirty. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Truth confession. You see, those truth confessions are very important to a believer if they're going to walk in faith. Why? Because in faith I learned to revenge all disobedience with obedience. What does that mean? I learned to revenge all lies against the finished work with truth confessions. I live by truth confessions. They overcame him by the power of their testimony. Truth confessions. They love not their own lives unto the end. Problem is, people love their own lives. See, what they don't realize, if you're a born-again believer, you've already lost your life. May as well start living in the reality of that. You see, it may be Friday. It may be a difficult thing. It may be that Christ is hanging on the cross and He's dying and you can't find Him anywhere and you're dying right there with Him. It may be that you have no hope. It may be that it looks bleak. It may be that it is bleak. Maybe there is no hope. Maybe it's as bad as it can get. Maybe it's going to kill you. God forbid, but maybe. Maybe you've lost everything. It's Friday and Jesus is hanging on the cross. And He's dead. And maybe He is dead to you in your emotions, in your life. Maybe He is gone. Maybe there is no fellowship to be had. You just can't sense Him. And all you can sense is the difficulty of your life. It's Friday. And then there's Saturday. And He's in the tomb. And you're all alone. And there's nobody there. And no matter how you try, you can't fellowship with the Word of God. No matter how you try, you can't hear from the Spirit. No matter how you try, you just can't get any kind of victory at all because Christ is in the tomb as far as you're concerned. He's not there. You know what the beauty of Friday is? It's only a couple of days away from Sunday. You see, on Sunday they came to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. On Sunday they came to the tomb, and He was risen. On Sunday, they came to the tomb and Jesus Christ was alive, resurrected, never again to be gone, never again to die, never again was He going to be separated, never again. He was on the throne forevermore, on the throne, in my heart, in my life, and I experienced the victory. You see, I may feel like it's Friday. I may feel like I can't sense Him. I may feel like there is no victory. But don't worry about it if you feel that way. Sunday is coming. Sunday is like 2 days away. Jesus Christ is going to come through for me. Why? Because it's a truth confession based on the truth of who God is. Faithful is He. Faithful is He. You see, there is nothing in me that can keep me away from the love of God. There is nothing in me that can separate me from His faithfulness. There is nothing in me that can separate me from His mercy. There is no circumstance or situation that is greater than His abundant love towards me. Oh, it may be Friday, but Sunday's on its way. Oh, I may be experiencing the death of the cross, but you know what? Doesn't make much difference. Resurrection is right around the corner. Oh, I may be in a position where I'm just overwhelmed and it just seems so much more than I can handle, but God says He's not going to give me anything more than I can handle. That's a truth confession. Oh, God, it's killing me. I can't do it anymore. Okay, then take on my life. Truth confession. Oh, God, the burden's just so great. And cast your burdens unto the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I know that if I come to God by faith in my prayer life, I know that if I come to God and just say, God, help me, I can't do it anymore, He will give me rest. Truth confession. I have a source, I have a Savior, I have a place, I have a rest. Why? Because I know that He will do it. Truth confession. Oh God, but you don't understand. I wasn't faithful to your word. I didn't show who you are. I didn't represent you well. God, you see, my testimony was horrible. God, you see, if anybody saw me at that time, they would have seen a demon. They wouldn't have seen you. Or even if I do not abide faithful, God abides faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He abides faithful. He will always abide faithful. He will always abide merciful. He will always abide gracious. He will always abide kind towards me. He will always draw me with loving kindness. His goodness and gentleness will always be towards me. Truth confessions. You see, why don't we replace those condemnation thoughts? Why don't we replace those thoughts of guilt? Why don't we replace those thoughts of self-loathing with truth confessions? Why can't I overcome? Because I have no truth confessions. Oh, I say I believe the Bible, but do I confess the Word of God? And I don't mean just out loud, but in my heart, do I confess the Word of God? Well, I don't feel like that. Well, then don't live by your feelings. Since when do your feelings make any decisions whatsoever? Since when do your feelings have any mind? Your feelings do nothing but respond to that which is initiating towards them. Initiate toward your feelings with truth confessions and you won't have bad feelings. Initiate to your feelings with guilt confessions, condemnation confessions, and your feelings aren't going to feel so good. Initiate toward your feelings with frustration and they're going to feel frustrated. Initiate toward them with guilt and they'll feel guilty. Initiate them toward them with truth confessions and they're going to feel victorious. Why? Because that's how they overcame Him. By the power of their testimony. And they love not their own lives unto the end. You see, I can't indulge my flesh. I can't indulge that desire of the flesh to be the center of attention by feeling guilty, feeling hopeless, feeling this, that, and the other thing. It's all the flesh. If God says you're more than a conqueror, if God says He makes you victorious, how is it that I feel defeated? Stop feeling by your feelings. Let your feelings respond to truth. Oh God, I failed, but you know what? Your grace is sufficient for me, truth confessions. I don't have to live in guilt because you've cleansed me from my sins, truth confessions. That failure I just failed 5 minutes ago, it's gone as far as the east is from the west. You don't even remember it, God, truth confessions. I live by truth confessions toward myself and I live by truth confessions toward you. You see, if God doesn't remember your sins, I don't either. If God doesn't know you after the flesh, I don't know you after the flesh either. If God says you're perfect and righteous and pure and holy and upright and just, I see you as perfect and righteous and pure and holy and upright and just. I agree with the Word of God and I have truth confessions towards you. I agree with the Word of God and I have truth confessions towards myself. Show me somebody with a bad self-image who lives in truth confessions. What do you confess? Do you confess your circumstance? Do you confess your problem? Do you confess the other person's problem? You know, you got a problem. Is that the only one you found? I'm doing pretty good if you just can find one. But you know what? I may be but dust, but I am dust that has the breath of life breathed into it from the Holy Spirit. Oh, I may not be the perfect man, but I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. What do you want me to be? I am what I am by the grace of God. Thank you. Truth confessions. Well, you know, you don't always do real well. Hey, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And that means my own relationship to the outside. Hey, I've been forgiven. Hey, my sins have been forgotten. Hey, show me what God thinks about me. Show me where He remembers my failure. I need to learn how to live in truth confessions. See, I don't need the confessions of guilt. I don't need the confessions of condemnation. I don't need the confessions that remind me how lousy I am all the time. You know why? Because they're not truth confessions. There is no victory in you reminding me of my failure. There is no victory in me reminding me of my failure. There is no victory in you're not good enough. There is no victory in you should have done better, you better work on it and do better next time. Yeah, there's no good thing in me. My head is sick, my heart is faint. How am I going to do better next time? Can you please explain that one to me? Like, what do I have to do better with? Instead of asking me to internalize negativity, why don't you build me up in who I am in Christ, and maybe then I'll internalize Christ, and then I'll be able to actually have something produced in me by God so that I can experience a victory. Why not live in truth confessions? Truth confessions actually work. Truth confessions internalized in the heart of the believer will turn that believer's identity to the point where their identity is Christ, their thinking is Christ, and they won't sin because the identity of sin is removed from them. You see, I will be who I am. And if all who I am is simply brought to me as my flesh, whether it's me or somebody else, that's not a truth confession. That's a confession of condemnation. That's a confession that kills. It's the letter of the law. But if I live in truth confessions, oh yes, you may have failed, but that's not who you are. You are not your failure. You are who God says you are. And God says, I'm perfect before Him. Thank you. Truth confession. I have yet to see a bad identity made by a truth confession. I have yet to see a bad self-image made by a truth confession. Well, we know what you did. What did I do? Tell me. Tell me, what did I do? Come on, what did I do? Well, you did this and this and the other thing. Did you know that no liar will see the kingdom of God? Because God doesn't remember my sin. Hello, thank you. What does that mean? If no liar will see the kingdom of God, and I am confessing against the finished work of Christ, maybe I need to get a little bit of fear of the Lord under my skin so I can start practicing some wisdom. Maybe if I live in truth confessions toward myself and truth confessions toward you, we'd both experience some victory. You see, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their own life unto the end. I'm cleansed. I'm perfect before God, applying grace when I fail, practicing rebound, not missing a step. And I do it by the power of the cross in my life. And I confess simply what is truth. My failure is not truth. God doesn't even remember my failure. You know what God remembers? Cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Truth confessions. You see, show me one place where God says, you know, I'm kind of disappointed in you. I think you ought to be doing better. Don't we do that to ourselves? I mean, don't we beat ourselves over the head this way? Oh, how could I do that? I'm such an idiot. Or I live in the same stupid thing all the time. Stop beating yourself over the head. Can you just see God saying that? You know, you live in the same stupid thing all the time. You know, you're such a failure. I'm so disappointed in you. Why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we do that to others? Because we don't live by truth confessions. We don't live by every word of God. Truth confessions live by every word of God. I need to live in truth confessions. Because if I live in truth confessions, that's how I become a victorious believer. That's how I overcome. Amen.